Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. Today's program, lesson number 5 of week number 38, studying Mark chapter 10. As we get started in today's study, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. At that page, you will find links to audio and video files, print materials, ebooks, Bible reading schedules, links to all of these IGH 260 broadcasts, links to our Bible study courses, and much more. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. That's text IGH-FREE to 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org to get started, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call us toll-free at this phone number, 1-855-IGH 6988 to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. Remember, if you missed any of our IGH 260 broadcasts, you will find them always available at internationalgospelhour.com/IGH260. Tune in again today and every day. Let's return to our study of Mark chapter 10. We're dealing with Mark chapter 10, verses 10 through 12. The disciples' question, another divorce question, Jesus' response, the divorce and adultery answer. At some point, Jesus left the setting where he discussed divorce with the Pharisees, and he joined the disciples, as the text says, in the house. Mark's context here in chapter 10, not as detailed as Matthew's, Matthew 19, verses 1 and following, does not tell us just what the disciples asked Jesus about marriage and divorce. We are only told that it was about the same matter. We can, however, detect something about their question from the way that Jesus responded to them. Jesus' response in this context went beyond the issue of divorce itself. It went even beyond the Mosaic permission to put away one's wife as long as a certificate was presented. Jesus' answer addressed the consequences of divorce in a way that was not introduced to this point in the discussion. Yes, divorce was granted or allowed by Moses. It's true that this permission was not God's initial intent per Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. Yes, it dissolved a union that God desired, one that God himself created. And yes, as we see in Deuteronomy 24, the one consequence was the separation, or the divorce itself. Moses' regulative instructions were designed to protect the wife and to curtail any further negative consequences. All of these are obviously consequences of divorce, consequences of separation. But Jesus added this one, the A word, adultery. Divorce was but one problem. But it was one problem that was often joined hard to another, adultery. In Matthew's record, Jesus introduced the subject of adultery before the disciples said anything to Jesus. And in that context, after hearing what Jesus said about divorce and committing adultery, the disciples did not ask a question. They, apparently confused and alarmed, said this, "If such is the case of the man with his wife, it is better not to marry," Matthew 19:10. In explanation of the consequences of divorce, specifically the adultery consequence, and in answer to the disciples' "it is better not to marry" statement, Jesus said, first, that not everyone will accept, that is, grasp, in the mental sense, accept, comprehend, understand. Not everyone will receive the consequences of divorce. And then second, there are times when sexual abstinence, including foregoing marriage, are necessary in order to be part of God's kingdom. Some, Jesus said, are born that way. some are made that way. And then, finally, some made themselves that way for the kingdom of heaven's sake. The point? Divorce has consequences beyond separation, beyond taking apart what God intended. And those consequences have kingdom repercussions. Let's sum up this discussion about marriage and divorce with these thoughts. Though they will not address every issue or every circumstance or every biblical text that speaks to this subject, they will, hopefully, engender a greater appreciation for God's perspective. The issue of marriage, divorce, and remarriage, introduced, briefly discussed by Jesus with the Pharisees and by Jesus with his disciples within the space of just a few verses here in Mark 10, that problem has been a perennial one. Mark was written approximately 2,000 years ago. Marriage was a problem in that context. Furthermore, as you read through the gospel narratives, you will find out that it was an issue that arose several times in the course of Jesus' ministry. In most of those settings, the issue arose in relationship to what the law of Moses said, specifically what Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 24. It was in the opening verses of that chapter that Moses granted or allowed a certificate of divorce. As Jesus indicated in this passage, Mark chapter 10, and in other passages where it was addressed, Moses only allowed that to happen because of the hardness of the hearts of the people involved. Incidentally, Moses wrote that decree nearly 1,500 years prior to the time of Christ. Equally obvious in those contexts was what Jesus said about God's intention from the beginning. What Moses did was an allowable correction in order to resolve an even more difficult situation, an even more difficult possibility, namely that men and women would indiscriminately put away their wives or their husbands, thus complicating matters even further. What Moses allowed, and what was recorded by inspiration in Deuteronomy 24, obviously had God's sanction, but it was not God's initial intent. And that's why Jesus brought it up by going to the original context of Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. The problem, though it centered on marriage and divorce and remarriage, actually bespeaks a much larger and a more troublesome issue. It's an issue of getting and or going our way versus doing things God's way. If there was no malevolent intent on the part of a husband or a wife toward their spouse, then there would be no separation, no divorce issues at all. Every sin, this one included, originates out of a desire that's contrary to God's will. We have noted this in our earlier studies, prompting us to introduce and then briefly discuss what we read in James chapter 1. That passage in brief tells us that God cannot be charged with sin. Why? Because God does not sin, nor can God be charged with or held accountable for our sin. Why? Because God does not prompt us, does not cause us, does not want us to sin. Where then does sin come from? James tells us that it comes from within, from our own lusts, from our own desires. When that trajectory continues in a downward path, so to speak, the thought of sin, lusts, will ultimately result in practicing sin. We will sin. But even before that, the sin of intention, the lust, the desire, has already taken place. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage sins, like every other sin, originates when we fail, when we want to, when we choose to, when we follow through on our desires, and thus do not keep God's will. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage sins are initially sins of the heart. Do you remember the challenge that the Pharisees lodged against Jesus' disciples in Matthew chapter 15, verse 1? They accused them of transgressing the tradition of the elders. How was this the case? The Pharisees stated that Jesus' disciples did so because they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. Jesus, in his corrective reply, said several things that are worthy of consideration. by adhering to your traditions, you, the Pharisees, violate God's commandments. You, for example, skirt your responsibility to your parents by your tradition of Korban. You are hypocrites. You are, as Isaiah said, engaged in lip service to God, but your hearts are nowhere near where they need to be, and that makes your worship vain. Jesus then explained to the multitudes and to his disciples the errors of the Pharisees, most telling in that context as it applies to our present study of divorce issues in Mark 10, was this remark. So Jesus said, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." That's Matthew 15, verses 16 to 20. Mark chapter 7, verses 1 and following, a chapter that we studied only 3 weeks ago, presents the same message. Did you see the list that Jesus introduced in this passage in Matthew 15? Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Two of the heart issues that were presented here are sexual in nature, adulteries and fornications. Mark's list, appearing in Mark 7, 21 and 22, though a bit longer than Matthew's list, also includes the same two sexual sins, adulteries and fornications. Where do these sins come from? Jesus said that they came from the heart. Finer points of context, exegesis, word studies, hermeneutics, and exposition are all well and good in explaining the meaning of these passages. But if we fail to understand that, at rock bottom, divorce has always been a consequence of a heart problem, then all of our study will fall on deaf ears and be of no consequence. We must, as did Jesus, teach purity of heart. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Mark chapter 10. This reminder as we conclude, to start our online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.